The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
All right, welcome in to another edition of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I'm Brady Hull. Coach, there's a lot to unpack, my friend. How you doing?
Well, we had the break last week, right? I think you had a dog appointment to the vet. It was Easter week, so we had a break, which is good.
I had to get him neutered. Yeah. Coach, I had to get him neutered.
It's tough, yeah.
That's, apparently, you can't do that on your own.
It happens. It happens. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, obviously a lot's transpired. And it's funny, the voice is getting froggy because I don't, unless we're like radio show hosts like you or like stockbrokers, they're just banging out the old school calls. I'm not sure if that's what it is on Wall Street anymore, but I love those movies, Wall Street. We could go down a million rabbit holes there. Boiler Room.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good ones. But unless you're built for that, with the portal officially opening up, today's Thursday, but opening up Tuesday, the calls and the Zooms and the intel and you're just doing this stuff literally not 24 hours a day. That's a lie. But, I mean, from 8 a.m. till it shuts down, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you're using your voice. So the voice is getting froggy, and I got to rally somehow, right? Like, I got to find a way to get it done. But it's chaotic. It's not fun. But you know what, too? In some ways, it's kind of fun as well. Like, I enjoy building, and, you know, maybe it's the old school JUCO days of having to build teams. And so this task for every coach in America, it is daunting. But it's also maybe there's 75% daunting, but there's some fun in it in just trying to reconfigure and figure things out too. So
it's like free agency kind of, right?
I mean,
all this stuff, but it's also, it's different from free agency because in the professional leagues, they know who they have. They have guys signed to contracts. And of course, we're going to get into that today. I was shocked, Coach. I mean, obviously you and I talked about Ringneary.
Yes.
I think you were kind of, you know, maybe he sticks around. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe 50-50. And then, obviously, we get the news that he entered the transfer portal. And then Egan Shields, too. So two guys there that I was really excited to see what they would look like next year.
I was too. And I'm scrolling through now. You can look at this. I can even send it to you. But, like, right now, as of yesterday, 49% of every Division I scholarship player is in the portal. That's probably now, like, 55%, 60%. The point being that you can't take these things personal. You know, Washington State's entire team's in the portal. Indiana State's entire team's in the portal.
Yeah.
We always talk about the example of Baylor, their entire team. So I actually feel good about where we're at. We have a good core coming back. We're going to carry 14 guys next year. We already have 7 of those spots filled, maybe 8, okay, before we've even signed any new guys, okay? So, yes, I was hoping that Ring and Egan were going to stay. There's no doubt. I love those guys. But at the same point in time, the reality is the best answer is yes. The second best answer is no. And so just trying to have the relationship with every one of your players to be able to sit down before the portal opens up Tuesday. So the reason it dropped Monday is kind of the final meetings with Ring and Egan. They were on Monday. And we talked to them 3 or 4 times. I mean, all the way back to the first day that we finished the season, then right after spring break. And so that not just those guys, but as an example, that it's like, all right, hey, are you coming back? You're not. And they were like, maybe. Right. And so as you go through the whole thing, you get to that Monday. And it's like, all right, it's time to figure out what we're doing. There's no ultimatum. But at the same point in time, what we can't do is we can't have any player that knows they're going to be in the portal not tell us they're going to be in the portal. Because the portal is only 2 weeks. It's only open now for 2 weeks. It used to be 60 days. So like going back to the old school, the great story of we thought for 45 days in Dalton's not senior COVID year, whatever, for the first 45 days, he was in of 60. And then things changed where, you know, whatever, the you know, money, like we had no money, like literally no money back then. And on the 45th day, he called for a meeting right away and said, hey, can we talk? And he said, I'm going to get in the portal. And that was totally fine. But I would rather know as this portal is condensed and it's pushed to after the season. Things are shifting in the right way. They're not perfect calendar-wise, but they're getting better. But I would rather know before it even opens. So then it's like, all right, what do we got? Now, listen, the five guys that say they're coming back, they could get in the portal today. Like, there's no control. It is free agency, but I just really appreciate the honesty of it from our end and then also from the players' end, so we know what it is and so we can build appropriately. Like, literally tomorrow – so we're still in what's called a dead period. No one can come on campus yet. Starting tomorrow, it opens back up. You need the ability to get players on campus as quickly as you can to just rebuild the next team. So if you're going to go into portal after the talks and discussions – I don't want to lose any of those guys. But at the same point in time, knowing that before the portal opened up gave us the ability to have the best chance to refill those spots as quickly and seamlessly as possible.
When, as far as Ring, we talked about being 50-50 maybe, but Egan Shields, how much of a shock was that?
Going back to like we met with the way that we kind of built things up in terms of, you know, how are we understanding next year's team when the season ends. We know that Quinn, Zach, Brock, Ibu all graduated. Four leading scorers, they're all graduated, right? So it starts with that. Then it's like, okay, we played eight guys the majority of the minutes. There's four guys that played big roles. Vince, Ring, Arik, Egan. So it starts with meeting with those guys first, saying, what are your intentions? Because that also helps us have discussions with the players that are in the program. They're like, well, what do you see my roles next year? Well, it depends if Ring's coming back. It depends if Vince is coming, right?
Right.
So it starts with those guys because those guys earn the roles on a really good top 150 team this year. So you can't have the best discussion you can with other players in your program until you have the ability to understand those guys. Ring was always kind of 50-50. I still felt good about it, but 50-50. And really, slowly, too, it's not just the money, but like, we can't provide the finances that other schools, when you have the year that a Ring had, that an Egan had, if they decide to get in the portal, they will make way more money somewhere else. And I'm not saying it's just about the money, but we will never outbid or outpay any. It's just weird at that part of the totem pole. That's just what it is. And so you know that. And Ring was always questionable. I think he wanted to come back. He loves it here. Same with Egan. But, you know, I think that becomes a part of it, you know, and totally understand it too. Like, you only have, you know, 4 years to play. Now there's a new rule that might come out next week says you get 5 years to play.
Yeah.
So listen, this thing is, I wish that would have been solved 3 weeks ago because maybe that changes things for, you know, maybe Ring Neri, you know, he's only got 2 years left and we're like, hey, stay here for one more year, right? Let's build you into a first team all league guy, maybe player of the year guy, and then you have 1 year left. Well, if the sell was stay here for one more year and then you have 2 years left, maybe that changes things. So, nothing's final with anything, but as of right now, we know guys are in the portal, and we are recruiting appropriately to refill those spots. But yeah, just to your question with Egan too, I mean, obviously with Brock graduated and moving on, that role had slid right in, and he knew it. We knew it. Everyone knew it. You know, you have Hunter Caldwell as an emerging young big, and then you have Drew Payne, who we signed, who's going to be really good for us, but he's coming in as an incoming freshman. Those were our bigs. So from a role perspective, you know, Egan obviously knew what that was, and it just wasn't good enough.
How difficult is – I mean, it just seems like it's getting more complicated as we go because guys that you've lost to the portal before, you know, we go Dalton Connect. Okay.
Yeah, and even going backwards, the first guy was Coor John Cooch.
Yeah, yeah.
But Coor was here 4 years. He's a UNC grad. He would identify with this place more than anything else. But in his fifth year, that dude's a curious mind now. Like, he's been all over the world, and he was like, Coach, I want to get to a really big city. And he went to Temple. You know, he lived in downtown Philly. But he was the first one. And then Dalton.
And Langston just recently.
Langston, St. Thomas, yeah.
I guess I look at it, and I look at those guys. Yep. Those guys were like, to me, as a fan, obvious guys that were going to be leaders on this team. And, okay, it makes sense. Ring Neri, good player. Egan Shields, good player.
Yep.
Both I was ready to see them take the next step. Yep. But then suddenly money's flashed, and I'm not like knocking the guys. That's how it is.
Right.
But now we're talking guys that weren't your top three dudes last year, and there's a lot of money being thrown at these guys. How difficult is that becoming?
You become a victim of your own success, too.
Yeah.
People are attracted and recruit from programs that win. We do the same thing. We evaluate players that maybe are on the upper end, you know, the high majors, the power fours, the, you know, the Mountain West, the whatever it is. maybe a player's only scored 3 points a game, but they're in a winning program. Those are the players that we're looking at right now, too, saying, hey, look, they've played in so-and-so's program. These are winners. And so I do think that we become a victim of our own success that, like, hey, if you recruit a player from Northern Colorado, look what – because Coors started at Temple. Look what Dalton connected. St. Thomas played 37 minutes a game. Yeah. Langston Reynolds was, I think, the second leading minute guy in Minnesota this year. So it becomes a problem that way that these guys that have moved – DeJure Reeves, right?
Yeah.
These guys that have moved on, we haven't had many flops. And there's flops all over the place. When you move on and move up, and that's what we're talking about, right? You move up, money means bigger level, you know, things like that. There's the risk of flopping. We have not had – I don't know if we've had – I have to go back through. I don't know if we've had one player that's moved up and has flopped, and it happens all the time. And so, you know, I think that also, the big boy levels, they circle around. And they say, okay, let's just see what's going on. And then obviously, too, like you have to have the right – you know, the right measurements. Egan's big and athletic, and then Ring with a 7'3 wingspan. Obviously, he's working really hard to get his weight up and things like that, but he's got the measurables. So that's part of it, too. It's not just that – it's not just the stats, but when you have the stats coupled with the analytics, coupled with they didn't have massive roles yet, right? So, you know, everyone's projecting that as well. That's all part of it.
Coach, someone, we were talking about this on the whole show the other day, just about the transfers out from the program, and someone had texted in and said, I wonder if these guys, if you were playing in some kind of postseason, would they still have transferred? Basically insinuating that giving them time to go home and have conversations, yeah, whatever, or just more chances to talk to an agent or whatever, they felt maybe they stick around. What do you think to – because I've seen a few people, yeah, bring that up.
That doesn't matter because the portal's so late and because agents and everybody has access to these kids no matter what you say. I still – it would have been great to play in the postseason, you know, and we had obviously a CBI contract. I don't know if we would have taken it or not, but the CBI shut down. So it was kind of a moot point.
Yeah.
We did not get to the NIT, but – I looked at like, hey, like, yes, you got your team together another 10 days, right? You play, you know, it's a great positive into it as opposed to when you get beat, whenever you get beat in your conference tournament, it's just demoralizing. But so I would love to play in postseason. I'm always big on that. I think it helps. But like, for instance, like Ring, he didn't go home. He stayed here and he was working out over spring break. But you just worry about like anything, like, you know, the less you're together, right? You know, idleness is the workshop, right? So, like, yeah, I mean, it's a very valid point. But you look at it too, you know, CU obviously are good friends down there in Boulder, and they did play in the Crown. But even before the Crown,
they were losing guys. Yeah.
Before the Crown, with Isaiah and with Seb and with BD, those guys already got into portal. That reminded me a lot of like when we had the CBI, the portal was already open, and Saint and DeJure elected to not play in the CBI because they were in the portal. That was a great situation for our program because it allowed us to play Langston Reynolds. Let's see what happens, man. Let's play this guy. He's good enough. And he was awesome. Let's play Marcel McCreary, who didn't have a bunch of opportunity that year, and he was awesome. So, like, we learned a lot by doing that. And I think that Coach Boyle probably did the same thing. He was playing all these freshmen, and, like, Josiah and those different guys were playing, right? Because, again, their three leading scorers did not play in it, and they lost, I think, overtime or the last shot to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was a tight game.
So he learned a lot about his team as it could potentially move forward. Again, you just want to know, are you going to get in the portal or not? The sooner we know, the better it is.
Hmm. Coach, you're a big movie guy. I know you're a Marvel guy.
Sure.
There's a line that came to my mind when you were talking, when the Hulk was saying, I'm like an exposed nerve. You know, at any moment,
I'm going
to freak out. And do you feel like you're sometimes when the more success you have, because you mentioned that, good programs usually get poached.
Yeah.
Does it feel sometimes like you're an exposed nerve? Because there's people that are looking at this program. You've churned out successful season after successful season. They're like, whoa, what are those guys doing over there? We're going to go after their guys, not even their starting guys or their big main guys. We're going to go after reserves and things like that.
It's a great, it's a good one with the Hulk. And not to digress, but you need to watch Crime 101. It's a movie.
Crime 101, I keep hearing about it.
It's a movie on Prime, and it has the Hulk. I don't know what the guy's real name is.
We'll just call him the Hulk.
And then it has Thor. Like, is that Hemsworth?
Yes,
then it has Halle Berry.
Okay.
And it's a little dark. It's in L.A. It's like this robbery thing, but it's pretty good. So anyways, I digress. You know, Coach Reed, he's the one. I'll give him credit for the saying. Like, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. When you're at this level, when you talk about the portal stuff, you ain't the hammer, man. Like, you're the nail. And everyone's got more money, but everyone's You know, talking to Coach Leonard yesterday, mo money means mo problems too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're talking up there and we're all Zooming and this and that. And he's losing his mind because, you know, in their Zooms and the money that those kids are talking, it's just, it's insanity. And so we all have the same problems, or I guess the same issues, the portal, different problems. So if you do become the exposed nerve and you just lose your mind, that's not healthy. Like, you just, again, control what you can control. Like, that's the old Don Meyer stuff. And hey, we got a great core coming back. We're 7 of our 4, maybe 8. We're still trying to work on one guy, but maybe 8 of our 14 spots. We're only carrying 14 next year. And then we got a verbal commitment last night that I can't talk about that, but dude's really, really, really good, man. Like, really good. And so once that becomes public, and that won't become public until he signs. He's not a portal guy. International guy. So when he signs his thing officially, I think it's April 15th, it's a big deal, man. But so we're building it. You know, no one's crying over spilled milk. We've got the plan in place. We're Zooming. It's just so funny talking to all the other coaches, and they're Zooming. And like, at some point, you just got to get off the phone and, you know, checking on some other coach and, hey, what's up? Oh, man, I got to Zoom in 4 minutes. I just got off. It's just, that's all this thing is right now. Yeah. But you got to have a system. I love our system. Our system is really bearing fruit the way that we do things in terms of matriculating the initial Zoom to the more presentation-based Zoom. Because if you're not like in a kid's top 4 or 5, you're not going to get to the presentation Zoom. So you're filtering things through. You got to filter. You don't have time to, you know, do Zoom 2 with 20 guys because those things take an hour, you know. And then, you know, getting to the visits and like guys getting on campus, we can't screw this up. We can't plan to bring in 25 kids on visits because we don't have the money to do it. It's got to filter through. And we got to know that we're like, okay, 1 of 2, 1 of 1, 1 of 3, something like that. It's all educated risk. You know, it's all gambles. So it's fascinating, like the behind the scenes of it. But like, it's again, in a weird way to, again, I'd say the fun part's like 25%, not 100%. Like, but there's a little bit of fun in this too. Like, how are we going to rebuild this? Because everyone's, you know, Montana's came out with the projection that they're going to have 3, maybe 4 guys back. It's the same thing.
Everyone's dealing with it.
You know, Weber's entire team's in a portal. Like, it's just Idaho wins the championship. Their whole team's gone. They all left. So, like, yeah, we're all dealing with it. So it's you know, the race for a championship next year, it begins now. And from the competitive juices, you got to flow with that too.
You're talking about these Zoom calls. Shout out to our friends at Altitude. They sat down with Tad Boyle the other day. And as he's signing off the interview, he said, hey, guys, got to go. I have agents to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
How much of that now is – you're talking about these Zoom calls. How much of that is talking to the agents now?
Even the bad players have agents. I'm telling you, like, not everyone is –
So you're talking to them and not necessarily the player throughout this process.
Hey, listen, not everyone is Quinn Danker and Brock Wisney and Ring – every player's got an agent, and it's like, it's crazy. I'm not anti-agent. Like, it's cool. Like, I've got an agent. You know, hey, this is part of what it is. So, and I do think it's good for the players in the grand scheme, and as they get to the higher levels, and we have rev share contracts too, and it is important for the players to have someone to look at the thing and understand what it is, right? Like, no doubt about it. But it's added such another layer. Like, even our current players, okay, let's line out all your, you know, your stipend and your cost of attendance and the Smiley Camp LLC and, okay, here's some rev share. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so we have the spreadsheet, which is great, which is we work on with the player. Okay, are you good with that? Yep, sounds great. Then they send it to the agent, and then we have a Zoom with the agent to go over the spreadsheet, which is cool. Like, it's the transparency of it's really important. And the way that we've done it, like, these agents have been like, this is the best layout because it's sometimes people say, I'll give you $30,000. I'll give you $90,000. I'll give you $3 million. Well, what does that mean? Mm. We break it down because we have to. Like, just hey, here's how it breaks down for us. But the feedback from the agents when we get to that phase with our guys or with recruits is like, this is the best way that we've ever seen. We have it laid out. This is what's not taxable, which is a good thing. This is what's taxable, right? So we break down all these things. So the player totally – I just want transparency. Here's what we can do. Are you good with it? Here's when you're going to get the money. Here's when it's going to get taxed or it's not going to get taxed. You know what I mean? And so the agent thing has been really fascinating because, yeah, our guys too, everyone's got agents. And, you know, last but dying breed, in college, Quinn, Zach, Brock did not have agents. And a weird fact is, like, every player that we've really retained all the way through, Jaron Riley, at the time, Langston Reynolds, never had an agent. When the agent gets involved, the agent's job is to what? It's to not just give them the most money. It's also if they're about the right things to still find the right fit. But the money's involved. When most of the time, when players get agents, it gets really hard to retain players at our level. Mm. Now, we do have some players that we are retaining that do have agents, so it's not like it's never happened, right? But when players get agents, it just gets harder. But that's the reality situation. Almost every player we talk to in the portal are like what's changed in the last 2 years, everyone's got an agent. And that's fine. Some of these guys, like, it's starting to standardize itself out. There's some really good agents, like people we've talked to. And there's some bad ones, too. You hear about all the bad, the runners and the 20%. That's not everybody. But we always ask our guys, like, hey, like, none of my business, but what percent is your agent taking? And I'm like, oh, you know, 5%. Cool. Cool. 20. Whoa.
Yeah.
None of my business, but are you sure? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, and some agents, too, like, at this level, they might represent the kid and say, hey, look, the money's so low at this level, like, we're not going to take a dime from you here. But if you ever get in a portal and you go from whatever it is, you know, making no money or $5,000 to, like, now you're worth $500,000 at the next place, that's when we're gonna you know, enforce the contract. So there's some great agents, too, who say, yeah, let's represent you. Let's help you out. There are agents that say, we're not taking anything at this level, right? But if you do make the jump to the next level, that's why we're representing you now. It's unbelievable.
It's and again, I know
it's part of what it is.
We've talked about this a lot, but your start, everything you've been through as the head coach here, when you started, that's when all this stuff starts. So you've been learning all this as you go, not just to be X's and O head coach recruiting.
That's what it is.
The minute you started, you were dealt with all these crazy things. I mean, the transition from you being an assistant coach to head coach, man, look at where we are now.
And I think that's where, like, being grateful for the summation of your own experiences. So for me, like, being a junior college head coach and athletic director, that's all this stuff is.
Yeah.
And so I still, like, sometimes I forget and forget about, you know, hey, this doesn't feel weird to me. At the same point in time, it is, I mean, this is bizarro land. But in terms of, like, having to rebuild your roster and, you know, back in the JUCO days, we had really good resources, but still, you could parcel a kid, you could full ride a kid, could he keep his Pell Grant? Like, those are the games we used to play there. It's the same thing, but it's just the money's way different now. But it's the same philosophy. Like, what are you going to offer this kid? How do you view this kid, right? It's the same thing. And then the AD stuff, in the sense of, like, the balance of the budgets, and that's just like creating a rev share contract with our administration. Nothing's different.
Yeah.
But to be grateful to be at the low levels and, like, being able to move and shake, because that is what this is. The people that I think struggle and get really frustrated and the hole comes out with the exposed nerve are the people that had the good old days at this level in terms of Division I, where there was no money involved and sign a kid. They can only transfer once, but if they transfer, they'd have to sit out. So, like, there was a penalty. Well, none of that's reality anymore. Those people, I think, are really frustrated and struggling, and rightfully so. Like, man, I remember the good old days? It's pretty much what it's been for me my entire time in this journey. So it just hasn't felt weird. It's chaotic, but chaos has been the norm.
Do you think this, speaking of that, the executive order that President Donald Trump is trying to put forward with the, you know, you can transfer once, and then after that, you're penalized. Yeah. You can sit out. That's the way it used to be.
Right.
Do you see us getting to that point again?
It's all changed. Like, I don't know how the legality and the orders and the courts, the NCAA, I don't know what. Right now, none of that's happening. Right now, you're half the country's in a portal, so it's not like, I don't know, like, the teeth in it yet. I'm not saying there's no teeth. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, if you said, okay, and also, too, is you get 5 years to play 5 years, that would be tremendous. Let's just throw out the red shirts, right? Because then this year we could have played more guys that we redshirted to protect their years. But, like, Tanner Burkita, he didn't redshirt. He didn't get a ton of minutes, but he was just right there. He was, like, guy nine. Like, he was – but he didn't – like, he can look back and say, man, wish I would have redshirted. Well, if this thing passes through, then it's like, no, that was actually a great situation. We didn't know, but 5 years to play 5 years, I'm all for it. And throw the redshirting out. You know, I had to talk to my son about it. He's like, well, what would this mean for me? It'd mean that there's no redshirting. You're just going to play. Like, and if you don't play a ton of minutes, it's not that big of a deal, but you don't need to have that decision. And then transfer once. I still think that's one free transfer. But then after that, it'd be nice to be able, hey, you can transfer, but you're going to have to sit. I just look at, you know, these guys are transferred four times in 4 years. How are these guys graduating? It's not impossible. Quinn Danker, went from JUCO to D2 to Idaho to Northern Colorado. He did his degree in 4 years. And guess what? In this year, he's going to have his master's. Mm. So, like, it's not like it can't happen. The guy's been at, you know, four schools, 4 years, got his degree, and then with his fifth year, when that JUCO ruled a one-time thing, he used it. Luckily, he stayed here. Now he's walking in like 3 weeks with a master's degree. So it's not like, oh, show me a kid. I can show you a kid, Quinn Danker.
But
most kids, when they transfer, this school doesn't take that class, take it off. Oh, this school doesn't take a D, take it off. I guarantee you, less kids are graduating in 4 years that are transferring all over the place because you can't always transfer those credits in. That's not good.
Yeah.
As the world's getting harder to get jobs and AI and all this crazy stuff, it doesn't help you to not have a college degree after 4 years of playing college basketball. I know that. So I do worry about that.
Last one. Do you see, and again, with this executive order, I don't know, even the president said, yeah, this will probably get thrown out in court and we'll get sued, all this stuff.
Sure.
But it was the idea, I think, was just to try to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Do you see kids, honestly, starting to slow down with this by thinking of those things? Like, hey, maybe it's going to be hard to graduate. I think of Great Bears players that are now community leaders here in Greeley.
Neil Kingman. Colorado, baby.
How do you put those roots down?
I know.
If you're transferring out. So I think of all those little things
that
guys aren't thinking about.
7 years of my life was in Aberdeen, South Dakota, right? And 5 years as a player for Don Meyer. But then that was like my second home. And so when I had the opportunity to go back there and coach, I did have roots down there, right? Like I knew all the people. When you are pop, 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 right? Like what is your second home? I don't know. That's for every player to answer, right? Like, I think Quinn Danker would say, man, like, I would say, you could go be the mayor of Greeley if you wanted to. But it also, like, 2 years here, the last 2 years, an awesome 2 years. I think he takes so much ownership in what this is. But, like, players that just move around, I don't know. I don't know. But I just worry about, everyone does, like, yeah, you're making the money. And some guys don't. Like, listen to me, like, a lot of guys, this money's fake. A lot of these guys don't make any money. But the best players make good money. But then, too, when you're done and you made $500,000 at your final school, that's so awesome. I mean, my contract's probably take me 3 years to make that much money, right? That's awesome. Like, in 1 year, they're making $500,000. But then the reality is you go play in Europe because you're not an NBA guy. And, like, you know, the guys in Serbia, the guys in England, the guys in Germany, they don't care that you made $500,000. Guess what? $1,500 for your first contract, $2,000. So then you've had this like weird bank account, and you hope these guys are mature enough to siphon some away and put it in retirement or something, right? But probably not. Got a nice car, got jewelry, whatever it is. And then you go to Europe and they're like, all right, here's your new monthly $2,000, and you're used to
one big check of
or even if it's monthly, it's like $92,000. Yep. And then it goes like that is the reality, and I don't know like how would we feel about that if our monthly salaries got cut by 92%?
Yeah, when you're 18 and you're getting these monster
that's
checks,
a real thing.
And then suddenly you're back to normal people land.
That's a real thing.
That's insane.
That is not fake. That is a real thing. And so, yeah, there are some societal, some cultural, some mental. Those things are all absolutely on the table. Those things are all real. Obviously, our guys don't make crazy money. So, like, you know, Brock Wisnie graduates and he's signed with the European agent. He's going to be in Europe. And when he gets there, and whatever his salary is, and he's going to be a really good player over there. But when he gets there, it's not like he's going to have this crazy shock of, well, my bank account in Greeley was. No. Like, it's the natural progression of life. So, like, he won't be all jaded. Zach Block, Quindick, those guys won't be. Ibu, none of those guys will be, like, all out of sorts. But when you get to those biggest levels and you get to that money, and again, don't get me wrong, that's awesome for those kids. And if they put the money away and they've set themselves up for the start of their life for sure. But
a good chunk of them don't.
And your monthly is going to look a whole lot different because these, like, let's just be honest here, man. Like, they're making more money here than most of these guys are not NBA guys. That's the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. But they're good. They're really good players. So they'll be pros. But they're not starting it like, you know, here's your $3 million contract to play in France Pro B, which is a great league, but that's not how it goes.
I'm curious to see like the after effects, like a study of
it needs to be a study.
All these players that get a lot of money for 2 years and then they go to a regular job, because most of them are. They're going to go to a regular job. Yeah, they might play overseas too, but even then it's more of a regular job because the finances are more similar.
And I mean, so it's just like this is – in 15 years there needs to be the, you know, the Harvard, you know, the business case study of
like what happens to these dudes after.
These dudes, like the whole thing, what happened to this, like this whole world is just transformed. And again, we are in market disruption.
Yeah.
It'll settle in, and it already is. Like, you can see how the portal used to be wide open. It was open for 60 days. Now it's over 2 weeks. And now it's starting the day after March Madness. Well, maybe it's better to start one more day after that so, like, you know, Michigan can celebrate for one day and UConn can pity themselves for one day. You know, my guy Connor Creech, he's a graduate assistant at UConn. As opposed to, like, all right, we won the game, and then at midnight the portal opens up. And, but it's getting closer. It's getting closer to making sense. There are theoretically guardrails with the $20 million cap, right? You know, the rev share cap. And then they tried to – the NIL go is – okay, now – and I'll go. I'll give you one more thing. It used to be any contract, $600 or more, had to get approved from NIL Go. Because, like, those are not through the school. Those are the third party. That's what they're the collectives. They're trying to shut down the donors just cutting checks, right? So it's got to be legitimate NIL activity. Yeah. Well, now I just saw I didn't realize this. I just saw a thing. Now anything under $2,500 is subject to review. Because it's like, look, man, like, $2,500 doesn't push the needle for the biggest levels, right? But the NIL Go is just inundated with all this craziness. And, like, do you want to evaluate a contract for $50? No, like, it's $50. But now it's pushed from $600 to $2,500.
Is that total or monthly? Is that, like, a total?
Total.
Wow.
The totality of the contract. So, like, when you talk about, you know, my good friend Jeff Linder at Texas Tech, like, they had these massive contracts. Coach Boyle at CU, right? But when you push above the $20 million in-house rev share thing, those contracts got to get siphoned through, and it's not easy to do. The other thing I'll say is this: the best basketball, the best places set up to win are like the Big East schools or Gonzaga. Why is that? They ain't got football. They have the same rules to play with, $20 million bucks in-house. But obviously football, you know, let's just say if there's a $20 million pot, it, you know, Texas or Ohio State or Michigan, you'd assume $12 million to the $20 million pot is allocated for football, right? Just to keep them competitive. There's no football in the Big East, right? There's no football. Last time I checked it, Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So that they have the same rule to play by. So now those jobs strategically are turning into these unbelievable jobs because who knows how their school allocates. Who knows if their school can get to $20 million. But if they can, a huger chunk of that goes to men's basketball because there's no football.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane, Coach, man.
It just makes sense. But it's fun, man. It's, you know, getting back to the Bears, like, we've got, right now, we've got six guys that we believe are coming back, grinding through it. And when we had a meeting, one of those guys was on a visit with his sister to her school. So there was five guys, and it was Vince, it was Tanner, it was Steven, it was Arik, it was Hunter. And I said, look, I said, how many wins have we had in the last 3 years? Because it's like there's only five guys in a room, right? And they're like, I don't know, 60. I'm like, yeah. I wrote down 64, second most in our entire league in the last 64 wins. This exact meeting happened 3 years ago. And in that room, this is when Dalton got in the portal and when Caleb Shaw got in the portal. Caleb was with Langston and Brock, and he played way more than those guys early on, right?
Yeah.
Said, in that room was Zach Block. A very young Brock Quisney, like freshman in college. A very young Langston Reynolds. Theo Hughes. Connor Creech.
Wow.
And those guys created the bedrock, the foundation for what we did. And now you go through, Theo was only there. He was on the tail end, so he's like maybe one or two more years, and he's a pro now. But it wasn't like he was an all-league guy. He was a great culture guy. Connor Creech is like, guys, you're going to watch Connor Creech tonight in the national championship with UConn.
Yeah.
Winner, leader, warrior. Zach Block, who ends up being the winningest player, but that was 3 years ago, right? And after we had a 12-win season, those guys left. Langston, who was super young, hadn't played, and Brock had played a little bit. And I was like, that's you guys. But over these next 4 weeks, as we rebuild the roster, because we also have, obviously, Jeremiah Hammond and Drew Payne coming in, so that gets us to at least seven of the 14. But you have to run this. your voices in the locker, you know, not the locker room, your voices in the weight room, right? As we get back to workouts, when we start bringing these kids on visits, it's going to be fast and furious. It's your team now, right? And so, like, it's fun too. Like, these guys get this opportunity to lead, and it's like, this is the natural progression of college. So,
yeah, Coach, I appreciate you opening up about this.
It's
too.
Great. Yeah.
As a private fan and a radio guy, it fascinates me.
It fascinates me, and I'm in it, man. trying to figure it out.
It's a new world every single year. It seems like
every year.
Coach, I know you got to run. I know you got work to do.
You got
Zoom calls and all that stuff. Let's rock and roll.
Zooms, texts, and calls, man. So
I'll be curious to get some updates next week on the podcast.
Oh yeah, it'll pop.
All right, man. All right, we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, go Bears.
The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance. Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game, so how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!